I want you to turn two places in your Bible, if you will, please. Turn to Matthew chapter number 22. Matthew chapter number 22, and then chapter number 13 of 1 Corinthians. And we're emphasizing love all this month, and greater love. Thank God that God loved us so much He gave His only begotten Son. The greatest demonstration of love this world's ever known is that God gave His only begotten Son. And then last Sunday I preached on, oh, how He loves you and me. Loves us enough to call us. He said, I've got other sheep I must call. That effectual call of grace. When He called you and you heard His voice, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And you'll know if you've ever heard if you follow. If you don't follow Him, you've never heard Him. And thank God for that voice that speaks to our heart and speaks to us. And then He loved us enough that He convicted us of our sin. If we never knew we were a sinner, we could never be saved. But thank God He brought us to a place, like the old song said, amazing grace. There's grace that taught my heart to fear, then grace my fear relieved. He convicted us of our sin, and then He cleansed us of all of our sin. And thank God for that. He cares for us. He provides for us. He chastens us and so on. And but now today, we're going a little bit different direction. And I hope that you will take some opportunity this month as you hear me preach and others preach. Brother Tim, thank you for preaching on Wednesday night. And I know it was great. And if you, when you go through the Word of God, get a Bible concordance and look up the word love. Boy, it's just full of wonderful truths about it. And I'm going to read a familiar passage of Scripture this morning. And as it is with most things that we are so familiar with, sometimes we forget how deep it is. And when you begin to look at it and ask God to help you, boy, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But I'll try to be brief this morning and help you and me from the Word of God this morning if I can. And first of all, Matthew chapter number 22. Notice, if you will, please, beginning with verse number 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked Him a question, tempting Him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Now, he's referring to all the Jewish laws, not just the Ten Commandments, but to all of the law. And which is the greatest, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I was thinking as I read this passage of Scripture, there are the Ten Commandments that we're all familiar with. There's some 650 laws in regard to the Jewish nation and matters of cleansing and worship and family and so on. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when asked this question, which is the great commandment? That is, what's the greatest commandment? There's no hesitation on His part. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love is the great commandment, to love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Then turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul continues that thought. Chapters 12 and preceding chapters, he's been discussing spiritual gifts. And as he comes down to the close of chapter 12, he says that they are to covet the best gifts. And then he says, yet I show you a more excellent way. Now that word excellent, as I did a little research on that, it means the greatest of all. The greatest of all. And we're emphasizing greater. And he said, I want to show you the greatest of all the ways, the greatest of all the gifts or ministries. And he said, chapter 13, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, which is love, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give up my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. I highlighted some phrases in my Bible in that first verse where he says that though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. No significance whatsoever. And then he said in the other verse 2, if I have all these great gifts of prophecy and understanding and knowledge and have all faith that I could remove mountains, that last sort of phrase, I am nothing. Without love, I'm nothing. Without love, I'm like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And then the last phrase of verse 3, he said, it profiteth me nothing. There's no reward in it. If though I can give all my goods away to feed the poor, if I give my body to be burned, if I don't have love, it doesn't profit me. And then beginning with verse 3, he gives some description, definition of love. Love suffereth long, is kind. Love envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I'm known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Greater love. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God would help me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this great gathering here in the building, for the vast internet and radio audience, and God, for the privilege of preaching your word. I present my body as best I know how, Lord, now as a living sacrifice. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost to fill me and flood me. Our Father, oh, how you loved us, that you gave your only begotten Son for us. And our Father, if we would be godly, if we would be Christian, if we'd be like Christ, we must love like God loves. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost to help us. Our Father, you know our nature. You know our old man. You know the world we live in. Our Father, apart from the work of the Holy Spirit of God, our Father, we cannot love like we ought to love. But I pray, God, for that anointing and power and unction of the Holy Ghost of God. I pray, God, you'd help me physically preach this morning. I pray, God, that you'd fill me with the Holy Ghost to speak to the heart of your people. I pray, our Father, we could be bathed afresh in the love through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And God, I pray that love would be declared and demonstrated to those around us. And we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory. And Lord, if there's a person here today who's never experienced that great love wherein you loved us, in that while we were yet sinners, you commended your love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I pray, God, that somebody in the radio audience, internet audience in this building could experience that great love that you died for them, that they might have everlasting life. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We had a great time on our trip, and it was good. Although, like I say, wasn't the best physical condition, me and Regina. I'll tell you how sick she was. There's 24-hour shopping on the ship. And when we stopped at Nassau, well, first of all, Coco Cay is a little island, a little private island. The first thing you do when you get off, there's all kind of shops there, little huts for shopping. And then when you go to Nassau, that's all shopping everywhere. And she didn't even feel like shopping. Now, she's sick. If I could have flown her by helicopter, I probably need to have brought her back to the hospital. And because if she's sick enough not to shop, she's sick. And but there was all kind of things. But, you know, there were great singers on there and great preachers. Everything was wonderful. And then when we were leaving out, if you've ever been on a cruise or been anywhere overseas, you know that you have to go through customs and all those things. And I was watching this great crowd of people, and it was just a mess in the airport and getting off the ship and everything. But here we were going along, and there was Brother Joe Offa. He was one of the preachers. He was right there by us, and we talked a little bit. And there were the Primitives, and there were the Rochesters and all the. And, but you know what I noticed? I don't care who they were, whether they were world-renowned or if they were just folk who just came, regular church folk that came, everybody had to go through the same inspections. Everybody had to go through customs. Everybody had to show ID, proof of citizenship. Everybody had to go through all the scans and all that. Everybody had to face the same final test when we came back, regardless of who they were, whether they were some of the main singers or main preachers, or if they were just people on the ship. Everybody had to go and appear at the same place and go through the same thing. And as I was studying this week, even this passage of Scripture, I realized that love is the test. It's not just the test for preachers or missionaries or anybody else, but it is the test for every person who names the name of Christ. Which is the great commandment? The lawyer asked Jesus. He said, thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, mind, and soul. The second is like unto it. You love your neighbors. You say. So the test that everybody has to face, the measurement of all of us is love. How do we measure up in love? In this passage of Scripture, this word charity, sometime in some of the translations, they change it to love, to make it more where we understand what he's talking about. But I love that word charity. That love, charity, is that which gives itself away with no prospect of return. That's what real love's all about. It is an outflow, not an inflow. It's an outflow. It's giving, it's loving, it's sharing. It is an active word. It's not a passive word. It is an active word. It is a word of action, love. You're to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. You're to love your neighbor as yourself. I suggest to you in the first place that it is the test of our maturity. A lot of people measure spiritual maturity by how much facts they know about the Bible, about Bible history, about Bible doctrine, about eschatology, the doctrine of the last thing. And they measure their maturity, and people measure the maturity of somebody by how much they know about the Bible, about how much they have memorized, or how much they have studied, how much they've read, or how quickly they can recall passages of Scripture. One of the greatest Christians I've ever known was a lady named Ella Peacock. She could not read one word in this Bible. She learned from listening, and she learned from experience. But from the time she got saved, her whole countenance changed. From the time she got saved, I've never seen such a compassionate, caring heart in a person. I never seen such a person who most of her adult life that I knew her, she was in her 70s, had some type of physical malady, but she was always concerned about church family and other people and the children. And she had such great maturity in this one area. And you don't measure spiritual maturity by all those things. You measure it by love. That's the standard. You take love and put beside it. You take love in your spiritual growth and maturity. As you grow in the Lord, you and I ought to grow in love, in our demonstration of love. The Bible said God is love. He's the very essence of love. Love is what makes God what he is and who he is in us. It's God's love and God's holiness. And he loves us. And when you measure your growth in the Lord, I've seen people who've been around church all their life, and they're the meanest people you've ever seen. I mean, they are. But there's no demonstration of love. There's no declaration of love. But according to our Lord, and according to this passage of Scripture, the measure of our maturity as a Christian is our depth of love. Not our depth, only our depth of love, but the breadth of our love. For God so loved the whole world. I just say this in passing. It just runs through my mind, Brother Mitchell. Over at the old building one Sunday, we were, after I'd been here for some length of time, we were coming out and somebody came to visit who had been a member of our church or something in the past, or known us in the past. And when we would stand at those days, we'd stand out on the front porch, shake hands with everybody when they left. And when I was there shaking hands and greeting people, whenever that individual came out, we paused for just a few minutes and talked. And Brother Mitchell was standing by. And the guy said something like this, or whoever it was, something like this: "I really love this preacher." And then Brother Mitchell responded, "He's pretty easy to love." I thought that was a compliment. And there's some people are pretty easy to love, but some people not easy to love. And so when we measure our love and our depth of maturity, it's not only measured by our depth with all of our heart to love the Lord, with all of our heart to love people, but it's measured by our breadth, the width of our love. I'll tell you what the Lord said. He said He so loved the whole world. That means everybody in it. That means all those who profane His name. That means all those who worship a different God. That means all those who hate Him and hate everything in this Bible. He loved them so much that He died for them. Amen. And Christian maturity is measured not, it's boy, I'm going to tell you, this is an easy crowd to love around here. I have often said, my wife, I love to hunt, love to fish, love everything. But when God put us together 52 years ago, and when we were dating, from that time on, there's not a person in this world that I'd rather spend time with. And we don't have to be doing anything. God just put us together, tied us together. Brother Mays Jackson sitting at a table with us. That actually was in Roy Rigdon's house many years ago. Brother Mays Jackson was there. Mays was preaching for Roy. Me and Regina were down there. And we sat down, we just talked. And he looked up, "Thank y'all. Amen." I appreciate that. I'm going to get through here, praise God. We'll get... Praise God, they're going to dope me up and everything. Thank y'all. Praise God. Amen. Thank y'all for that. But listen, old Mave sat there, and after we talked for a while, Regina's sitting there close by, he said, y'all do a lot of things together, don't you? And we said, just about everything. I just soon spend time with her. And that's the way it ought to be. But our depth of love and our maturity in love is not measured by just those that we are so closely attached to, your family, your husband, your wife. But spiritual maturity is measured by the breadth of your love, how much you reach out to love this crowd in here. This is an easy crowd to love. But down the road, there's some folks may not be so easy. There are people of different color, different backgrounds, other things, different dispositions. But our love is measured, the maturity of a Christian is measured by the standard of love. And it's measured by the depth of our love and by the breadth of our love. But not only is love the standard and the measurement and the test of our maturity, it is the measure and the test of our motives. He said in this passage of Scripture, he said in that regard, he said, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and even if I give my body to be burned, it profited me nothing. It is the measure, the test of my motives. Why do I do what I do? Why do I preach? I'm talking about me now. Why do I preach here in revivals and camp meetings? What is the motive of why I do that? Do I go to be seen of people? Do I go just to be around folk that I like? Do I go for whatever material things that might be involved? Or do I go because I love the Lord and I love saints and I love people that are lost and I just love people? Do you do what you do? The love is the measurement of our motives. Why do we do what we do? Why do we come to church? Why do you attend the house of God? To be seen of men? Is it a ritual, a routine? And God will measure my attendance, not just my faithfulness, but my participation by the standard of love did you enter my house with thanksgiving and into my courts with praise? He measures by the stand. The test is love. Do I come to worship because I love him? Do I study the word of God and read the word of God because I love him? Do I minister the word of God or do I share the word of God because I love people, have a burden for people? The test of my motives when I give to missions and give to individuals and give the offerings on Sunday, tithes and offering, do I do that because I love the Lord? Do I do that because I believe honestly that if I do give to missions, that God's going to bless that, honor that, and some missionary will be able to preach and he'll be able to demonstrate the love of Christ in places where I can't? Do I give because I love folk? The standard, the test is love. My motive, why do I do what I do? If we do it for any other reason other than loving the Lord and loving our neighbor as ourselves, we have no profit. There's no profit in it.
Amen.
But if you love people, the opposite side of that, there is great reward in that. If you respond in love in ministry, if you respond in love and giving and all those things, my motive for everything I do, why is it that you're cordial and kind to people? Are you being politically correct? Or do you have a genuine compassion for people? The measurement of all and all of us, or the standard for all of us to measure our motives by is love. Why do we do what we do? And make it real in every part of you, at the house and at work and everything. In all the church activities, everything related to the ministry of church, why is it that you do what you do? Is it the motive that you genuinely love and care? When I was in Bible college and they were talking about sermons and so on, and you go through and they tell you about, you do this, there's a way you do sermons sometimes, of what, when, where, and how, and who, so on through that. And when you go through and answer all those questions, you got a sermon, they said. And then the last one, I used to have this guy in homiletics class, a professor in homiletics, which is study the word of God and preaching and so on. And he'd say this, you ought to put one other one into that, so what? So what? Having preached all that message, you've got all this great illustrated and all those things, so what? What's it all about? Why did you preach that? Why did you do that? Were you just wanting to have a good outline? Were you just wanting to have something good to say? Well, you want the applause of men. The so what was it something that God put in your heart and you shared it because you love people and you love the Lord? That's a motive. Everything you do is measured. The motive must be love. Not only is it the measure of our maturity, not only is it the test of our maturity and the test of our motives, but is the test of our ministry. And I've kind of run two of them together. Whatever we do for the Lord, our ministry is always going to be measured by love. Did we really, really love? Love. I heard a story of a great preacher one day, and in the latter years of his life, he was found weeping one day, broken and weeping. And somebody said to him, "What's the matter, preacher? What's wrong with you?" He said, God, the Holy Ghost has spoke to my heart. And he said, all these years I've traveled and preached all over the country. And he said, I absolutely love preaching. I love to preach. I love to preach. But he said, God, the Holy Ghost has rebuked me with that I love him as much as I love the activity of preaching. That I love those I preach to as much as I love the activity of preaching. Oh, that gets it right down where it meets the road. Why do you do what you do? Motive. And the ministry, it's a measure of our ministry. That whatever we do, Tim's heart and our heart, all the rest of us' heart for the public schools, is it just an idea of wanting to get in there and make Baptists out of them? No. Is it just the idea of wanting to get in and somebody say, you know, Benson Grove, they really are doing a lot for the Lord? No. The real reason is that boys and girls need somebody to love them and care. You'd be surprised how many kids go to school that really, they don't feel any love at all at home. They don't know any love of a human being. Some of them don't know the love of a mom and dad. Some of them don't know the love of anybody around them. They always used and abused. And they certainly, many of them don't know the love of Christ. And ministry is measured not by success or failure. It's not measured in dollars and cents. It's not measured in what people call great accomplishments. It's measured in love. And God's been good to our church. I heard Valerie talking to somebody on one of the shuttle buses and talking about their church, and she hollered and asked us about how many we had in church. And then I heard that they were saying that if they had so, you know, just a small crowd, they thought they had a great crowd. They consider us a great big church. But, you know, it's kind of like I went out early one morning. I think it's when we pulled into Nassau. And this huge, great, big old tour ship was backing into a slot there to tie up and everything so we could go into Nassau. And there's this guy who came around the corner there in the same little harbor thing. And it was a beautiful, great, huge, like a cabin cruiser look thing, big white fishing boat. He was up there on the bridge driving that thing. And he came around the corner, and he came around. And he's the only one coming around at the time that he came by. I don't know, it was probably a 30-footer. I don't know if it was maybe 25, 30-foot maybe. Anyhow, but it's a huge boat. But when he came around, he came beside us. I saw him look up, and I thought, when he got up this morning, he thought he had a big boat. And, you know, you think you got a big ministry, you got a big this, a big that. But if you look around, there's so many things God's doing. But God does not measure ministry by size. He does not measure ministry by numbers. There are people that are ministering for the Lord in foreign lands and in way off places out here in the States, pastors who never have over 25 in their church. But, you know, I heard somebody make a statement one time that this is years ago when they were into the push of the super aggressive churches and mega churches and this, that, and the other. If you didn't baptize 200 in a year, you were backslid. Well, when I was in Wyoming, I rode through several towns that were less than 100 people. And there were no houses between where I got to in that town. I mean, 50, 15, 25 towns with that many people in it. How could you say somebody who lived in a town with 50, if he didn't baptize 200, they were not right with God? You mean, no way to reach them. They ain't not there. You don't measure it by that. You measure it by love. And God measures our ministry by love. You work in that Awana program, and you don't see a great deal of success. You got six or seven or so, and you go all year, and you could wish you had 100. But God doesn't measure it by numbers. How much you love that boy and girl. How much you love the Lord. That's the measure of our ministry, is the depth of our love and the breadth of our love. God measured our ministry by love. A church, a whole, this church is not measured by all the wonderful building God's given us, not measured by the so many activities, and we got so many things going on. God doesn't measure any of it by that. What he measures is how much we love people. When people walk on these grounds and walk through these doors, do they know that we love God? And do we know that we love them? We may have never, ever seen them before, but they sense the love of God in this place, and they sense the love of God that we love people, whether they're dressed immaculate or whether they just come in with jeans and a T-shirt on or whatever. Do they feel the same depth of love? That same depth of love. When I first read through this passage of Scripture, I thought, well, what I'll do is I'll go through and just take all those different parts of that love. And but I realized quickly I couldn't do that. If you go through it and look at it, he says, charity, it suffereth long, is kind, it envieth not, it vaunteth not itself, it's not puffed up, doth behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. That means it doesn't ever run out. It doesn't ever quit. It's always the same. And I thought, well, I'd go through and deal with all that. You know, I can't do that. Not now. I hope I can some as I go along. But all those several things, 15 of them right there, and some are interconnected. But just think about it. And the more I looked at it, the bigger and bigger it got. And so this morning, just kind of an overview of what this is all about. You say, Brother Billy, how then could I have that love? How then could I have that kind of love? If that's the standard, if that's what God's going to measure me by, not the numbers and not the size and not how much money I give or how much money I don't give or all those things. If the love is standard, how can I have that love? Number one, that love is part of a birth. He says in the book of Ephesians that you were by nature the children of wrath. The reason you sin is because you're a sinner. The reason you're full of wrath is because you have a wrathful nature. But when you got saved, you have a brand new nature. Ephesians said you have a brand new nature. And he said, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. When you get saved by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit of God comes into your heart. And you receive a brand new nature. Now, you have children, if you've had children. All children are natured differently. Some of them are cuddlers. Some of them don't want you to hug them. Now, Melissa, growing up, and she loves deeply, but she didn't care for people hugging her. She'd let daddy hug her, and let mama, but she didn't care for other people. She's just like that. There's some kids that are just loving, and Chase and Taylor were here. Something we had not long ago. The babies are still little. They're getting bigger every day. They'll be driving next week, I believe, the way I watch them grow. But I picked up Carver, walked around with him. He like a teddy bear. I mean, he just act like he was happy you can be, just love on you, everything, yeah. And you know, there's just people have natures like that. But when you get saved by the grace of God, you have that nature. You have the nature of God in your heart. And you receive it by love. And so the standard that whereby he's going to judge us by is imparted into our heart through the birth. We have that nature in us. And here in this long list of things, all those are an outgrowth of that nature. And so if you don't ever get saved, if you don't ever experience his grace, you don't ever have the capability of that. Because this word here, chase of charity, it is the word agape. It's godly love. You remember I talked to you a few weeks ago about that, and I talked to couples about it. There's eros love, which is a natural physical love, attraction between a man and a woman. There's phileo, which is a love of friendship love. That's just people who are cordial and friendly. But then there's agape love. That's that love beyond anything else. That's the love that God judges us by, that standard of love. And you get it, first of all, by birth. But then you get it by bestowal. I want you to take your Bible, look with me in Romans chapter 5. I've quoted this a time or two, but I want you to have it where you can make a little note of it and you go back and read it. In Romans chapter 5, I want to read to you verse 5. He said, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It is a bestowal, the gift of the Holy Spirit of God coming to our heart. It is God giving us that love. God's given you the love that's in you. It's already in you. He's given you that gift of love, that nature of love. You have the nature of love. You have the gift of love. But now, like any other talent, any other gift, you know, people have a musical gift. They have a gift to sing. They have a gift of this, that, and the other. But God expects those gifts to grow. And so I say this. To meet the standard of love, there has to be a birth. There has to be bestowal of the Holy Spirit of God shedding abroad in your heart the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there has to be a building of that love. And edification means building, edify. That means to grow up, to build up. And Paul illustrates that at the end of this chapter when he says this, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I did as a child, so when I became a man, I put away childish things. There's a progression. He said, you're a child, but as you get bigger, things change. You grow, you develop. And so there has to be a growth of that love. Not only that you have it, and if you're saved, you already have it in you. You have the nature. If you hold the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you, you're saved, and all of you do, the love is shed abroad in your heart. But now it is our responsibility to grow in that love and to activate that love or to be show that love in demonstration. That love has to be demonstrated. It has to grow. It has to develop. It has to grow in us. And you and I have to experience that. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 says, God is love, and he's inside of us. So that love's inside of us, but now it has to be developed. It has to be to grow. How does it grow? Well, he said that we grow by the sincere milk of the word. And so your love, the word, more you feed on the word of God, more you understand from the word of God. Paul prayed for that group, and he said to pray that they would comprehend with all the saints what the height, breadth, depth, width of the love of God. And so as you begin to grow and you know how much he loves us, it develops in you a deeper love for him and a deeper love for people. And exercise. He said they have their senses exercise. They have developed by exercise. Did you know what? If you have the very best food in the world and no activity, you'll never develop. I mean, you can give people the very best food today, have them lay in a bed, never get up, never walk, never do anything. It doesn't profit them. Because God's engineered our body, so when you take the food into your body and the body begins to assimilate that, the activity is what develops that what you've taken into your body, into muscle and sinew and all those things. And so it is absolutely necessary that you exercise for that food to be beneficial to you. And so when you study the Word of God and you learn about the Lord and everything, the next step is this: be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. And so you begin to ask God, the Holy Ghost, to help you as you demonstrate that love in giving your life to people, sharing with people, loving with people. And it's listed out in some detail there. I'm certainly not going to do it right now through for this morning. But my dear friend, listen. It is our responsibility. Understand this. It's inside of you if you're saved. You say, well, I'm just not like that. No, you used not to be like that. That's your old man. But the new man, you can love like God loves. You can demonstrate that love. You can declare that love. If you allow the Holy Spirit of God to work through you and you demonstrate the love of Christ, be doers of the word, not hearers only. And that love can grow in you. And as you begin to love people, I was having a long discussion one time with a fellow. We had a bus ministry. We were going out and reaching people for Christ. And he had this theological thought. And he's another preacher. And he said, well, I tell you what, he said, I'd a whole lot rather people study the Word of God and pray and let God give them a burden and then they go. And I said, I understand what you're saying. I said, we have a command to go. You don't have to have a burden if there's a command. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And he says, as they were going, I said, so you already got that. I said, but brother, I'm going to tell you something. For me and you and all your people and all my people, if they'll go, they'll get a burden. I mean, when you're sitting around a church house with people who sing like you sing, look like you look, smell like you smell, it's good. But when you get around real people and you see hurting hearts and broken homes, and people who need somebody to love them. When you go out, knock on doors, and you go from house to house, and you see what kids are having to live in, what people are living in, and what sin can do, it will break your heart. It'll give you a burden. And the more you go, the more you'll go. The more you love, the more you'll love. The more you give, the more you'll give. The more you sing, the more you'll sing. The more you'll preach, the more you'll preach. That's part of the development. It's got to be exercised. Just get in somewhere and love somebody for Jesus. Get in the Awana program. Get in the care ministry. Get in the school ministry, Brother Tim. Boy, that's just awesome. God's opened the door. I mean, God's opened the door in the public schools in Johnson County particularly. And there's a place for you to serve. Brother Tim Winnie can tell you all about it. But you got to build that love that's already in you by exercise, by doing it. One last thought, I'm through. It is the test of our maturity. It is the test of our motives. It is the test of our ministry. And there's a final exam. When you come to the book of Revelation, And there are seven churches there. They were seven independent churches, and the letters were addressed directly to that group of people individually. It also is a panoramic view of all of church history. Those seven churches picture coming down to the last days of that last day of that lukewarm church. And there's individual messages in those seven churches for every church in every age, like me and you. I thought it significant when I went back and read back through it and studying this message that the very first church he talks to is the church at Ephesus. It's this church I read to you about the love of Christ and the grace of God and so on. And he says about all these wonderful things, but he said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love." Now, in the order of these churches, there's problems in every one of them, and he points those out, and he expounds those, and he warns churches about them. But the very first warning is about leaving your first love, because all of these others are a result of not loving the Lord with all of your heart. No telling what could happen in your life if you don't love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. If you don't learn to love your neighbor as yourself. He said, on this hang all the law. And so when he starts to delineate, starts to list all the sins of the churches of all the age, first one he talks about, you've left your first love. That's not the love of church attendance, not love of soul winning. He's our first love, loving him. And he said, all this rest of this is going to happen is because God's people didn't love like they ought to love. Can I ask you a question? If God would come in with love this morning and he'd measure your maturity by love, how much you love him, how much you love your neighbor, how much you love the souls of men, how would you stand? If he'd come in and if he'd measure every one of my motives in giving, in attendance, in whatever else I do, and if he measured all of that by his standard of love, how would you stand? If he measured all of our ministries, all of our lives, you say, well, I'm not a preacher missionary, but you all have a life. Your life, he has good works ordained that you should do them. That's your ministry. That's your life. That's your word ministry means servant, really. Minister means servant. You're serving people, loving people. How would your life measure up in your service to people and to the Lord in regard to love this morning? Truth of the matter is, he said to that church at Ephesus, they left their first love. They left it undeveloped. They left it unexercised. They left it not expressed. They didn't love like they ought to love. My dear friend, listen. God's standard is love. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God to speak to your heart this morning. And God, speak to our hearts that we'll ask him for that great gift. The book of Galatians lists those nine fruit of the Spirit. One fruit, nine parts. I don't know how you want to look at it. But you know what the very first one is? Love. Because everything else flows from love. On this hang all the law and prophets, love. It's all there. And if we love like we ought to love, attendance wouldn't be a problem. Faithfulness wouldn't be a problem. Giving wouldn't be a problem. Soul winning wouldn't be a problem. If we love like we ought to love. And be honest. Be honest. If you have a loved one who ever asked you, do you really love me? That's not an indictment. That's a revelation. They're saying, I have not sensed your love for me. You have not demonstrated your love for me. I wonder this morning if the Lord would do for me and you what he did for Peter when he said, lovest thou me? That was an indictment. He knew how much Peter loved him. But he said, lovest thou me? He was wanting to reveal to Peter that he really didn't love him like he ought to love him. And his standard is love. Will you bow with me for prayer this morning? every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for praying for me. I thank you for listening. I pray the Holy Ghost of God help us. The cure for every home, for every marriage is love. If you really love, like the Lord said to love, husbands love their wife, Christ loved the church. Wives love her husband like Christ loved the church. It'd be a good home, be a good marriage. If we love the Lord Jesus Christ, if we loved our children like Christ loved us as dear children, it'd be a wonderful family relationship. And the thing is, we sometimes leave our first love. We leave it undeveloped. We leave it because of distractions or whatever. But I'm just telling you, I'm praying that God, the Holy Ghost, during this month, will tune our hearts to love Him more. We complain about what we don't have. That is our complaining about His love for us, because everything comes out of His love. We complain about our lot in life, complain about this, that, or the other. But do you really love Him? Love Him with all your heart, mind, and soul. If that's the standard, if that's the real test this morning, if you have to stand in a long line, go through all the cattle lines, and when you walk up to that inspector, he's not wanting a whole lot of different things. He wants, number one, your proof of citizenship. Are you a child of God? Are you saved? Are you saved this morning? Have you experienced that love that is unexplainable? How much He loved you and He died for you. Have you ever experienced that love of God, regardless of who you are and what you've gone through, that He loved you with an everlasting love? If you've not done that here in the building or radio audience, I want to encourage you this morning by saying this: He loved you before the foundation of the world. The Bible said that God commended His love. God showed His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved you just like you were, in all of your sin, enough to let His Son die for you. And this morning, if you'll trust Him as your Savior, if you'll turn to Him in repentance and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. And then for us who are saved this morning, I didn't go to the passage of Scripture and read it, but when He says to that church at Ephesus, "I have somewhat against you, you've left your first love," the next verse says, "Repent, therefore, not loving with all your heart, mind, and soul." It's not only unprofitable, not only makes our ministers ineffective, but it is in fact a sin that must be repented of. And if this morning you say, "Brother Billy, I want to love Him with all my heart, mind, and soul," but I'll be honest, I don't think I do. I've let a lot of other things slip in. I don't love the things of God like I used to love. Don't love the Bible, don't love the attendance, don't love being around the people of God as much as I used to. Well, the way you get over that is repent. Say, "Oh, God, forgive me. And God, if your standard is love, I want to meet that standard. I pray for that love of God that you've already put in my heart by my new nature and by the Holy Spirit of God shedding abroad in my heart the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I want to develop that. I want, through the Word of God and through my Christian ministry exercise and seeking you in prayer, I want that love to grow. I want people to know I love them. And God, I want to love the souls of men and women, boys and girls, that they might be saved." If that's your case this morning, you might want to slip around this altar. I'm not sure what you need to do. I just know God laid this on my heart this morning. Let's stand together. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God will do now in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, what needs to be done. I pray, Lord Jesus, God, that you would deal with the hearts of those, first of all, who are Christians. And God, that we recognize the necessity of loving with all of our heart, mind, and soul. That all of our maturity is judged by our love. That all of our motives is judged by love. And our ministry is judged by love. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God, to help us in that area this morning. I pray, God, for those who don't know Christ, I pray, God, they be saved. And we'll thank you.